Good afternoon. For WRCO News, I'm Bo Henriksen for Joanne Krulotz, and here's a look at what's happening in your neck of the woods. It's only been afternoon on Monday, but it's been a busy morning here in southwest Wisconsin. A meeting was held earlier on at the Boaz Community Building in regards to the discontinuation of the Richland County Ambulance Service. Those in attendance discussed their concerns in hopes to find a way to continue the service in the future. A three-month extension has been given to the ambulance service to find a way to fund service in the county. The issue will be discussed at tonight's Richland County Board meeting at 7 and tomorrow night's Joint Ambulance Committee meeting starting at 5. They'll have further coverage of this morning's meeting on tonight's newscast here on WRCO. Governor Tony Evers is pushing lawmakers to release $15 million to start updating Wisconsin's aging prisons. The money would begin design work at six correctional sites, part of his larger plan to close Green Bay Correctional and the Lincoln Hills Youth Facilities. Evers told reporters the upgrades will improve safety, reduce costs, and bring the system up to date. He's calling for bipartisan support from the State Building Commission so construction can stay on track. The plan includes converting older sites into more efficient facilities, including a vocational village at Waupun to help inmates build work skills before release. A proposed bill seeking to make it illegal for drivers to use devices meant to evade license plate detection systems has passed with bipartisan support in the Wisconsin State Legislature. The legislation would implement a $1,000 fine, 90 days in jail, or both for residents who buy, sell, or install devices that are designed to conceal their registration plates. Lawmakers say the devices make it more difficult for law enforcement authorities to identify suspect vehicles during an investigation. The bill will now head to Governor Tony Evers for consideration. State lawmakers are introducing new legislation seeking to expand access to dual enrollment programs for high school students. The programs allow high school students to earn high school and college credits at the same time. But schools in areas that are smaller, more rural, or have higher rates of poverty are less likely to offer the courses. The dual enrollment reform bill seeks to make those programs more accessible with an online portal through the Department of Workforce Development and an oversight council with members from other education agencies. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that its job support systems aren't receiving any federal funding during the ongoing government shutdown. According to agency officials, about 75% of their budget comes from federal sources. They're using carryover federal dollars and some state funding to keep their programs running for now. But without additional federal funding, some workforce initiatives could shut down. Officials are also expressing concerns about agricultural workers obtaining visas for next year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents traveling along roadways, waterways, and recreational trails this fall to remember the move over law. According to a press release, DNR wardens patrol a wide variety of terrain, and the move over law is meant to prevent possible collisions with stopped emergency vehicles or workers. The DNR is also reminding residents that state law requires them to slow down when approaching a stopped ATV or UTV on trails, as well as near patrol boats with their blue lights or sirens on. State Superintendent Dr. Jill Underley has sent a letter to the Capital Times demanding a public correction of recent reporting on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction's handling of educator misconduct investigations. The letter outlines how the reporting misrepresents the DPI's work, omits critical legal and procedural context, and ultimately undermines public trust in the systems designed to protect Wisconsin students. Dr. Underley stated, "Student safety is the foundation of everything that we do in education. Every allegation of educator misconduct is treated with the highest level of seriousness and is thoroughly investigated by the Department of Public Instruction. Any suggestion that the DPI withholds information from the public is categorically false. Records are released in accordance with open records laws, and educator license status are publicly available to anyone on the DPI's website." She added, "Journalism is the foundation of our democracy, but inaccurate reporting and sensationalism that ignores facts distorts the truth, and omits key context has no place. The reporting failed to acknowledge critical facts and the legal boundaries in which the DPI operates. She urged the Capital Times to issue a prompt correction to restore public trust and ensure an accurate understanding of their work to protect students. A bridge built in the 1930s to get across the Mississippi River is now closed for demolition. Jimmy Koska reports.
The bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa south of La Crosse is now closed. The Blackhawk Bridge, also known as the Lansing Bridge, is in the process of being replaced. The bridge was built 94 years ago and has been closed twice in the past 2 years for structural issues. Construction on its replacement began 2 years ago and is scheduled to open in 2027. In the meantime, the DOT will be providing free car ferries to cross the Mississippi River, while heavier truck traffic will need to use the posted detour through Prairie du Chien a half hour to the south.
You can find more details about the project on both the Wisconsin and Iowa DOT websites. The Iowa County Sheriff's Office, with assistance from multiple law enforcement and emergency response agencies, successfully brought an incident in the village of Cobb to a peaceful resolution Saturday evening. At approximately 6:25, deputies were dispatched to Division Street in Cobb for a report of a disturbance involving an individual barricaded inside a vehicle. The situation was determined to involve a firearm, and out of an abundance of caution, additional law enforcement resources were requested. After several hours of communication and negotiation, the subject exited the vehicle and was taken into custody without injury. The suspect was identified as Tina Rochelle Scales Toborg, 61 of DeForest. Scales Toborg was taken into custody and transported to the Iowa County Jail on 5 misdemeanor charges, going armed with a firearm while intoxicated, operating while under the influence, third offense, resisting or obstructing an officer, possession of THC, and disorderly conduct. According to the Iowa County Sheriff's Department, the peaceful outcome was made possible through the exceptional collaboration of multiple responding agencies, including the Fenimore Police Department, Wisconsin State Patrol, Avoca Police Department, Mineral Point Police Department, Dodgeville Police Department, Cobb Fire and First Response, and Highland EMS. A two-vehicle crash Sunday morning resulted in injury. At approximately 8:25, the Grant County Sheriff's Office was notified of a two-vehicle crash at the intersection of Highway 18 and County Highway F in Fenimore Township. Grant County deputies, along with emergency crews from Fenimore Fire and EMS and the Fenimore Police Department, responded to the scene. During the investigation, it was determined that John Haas, 41 of Potosi, was traveling north on County F. As he approached the intersection with Highway 18, he failed to stop at the stop sign on F at Highway 18 and continued into the intersection. At the same time, Kevin Megan, 28 of Poplar Grove, Illinois, was traveling west on Highway 18. Megan's vehicle struck the passenger side of Haas's vehicle, causing heavy damage to both vehicles as they came to rest in the north ditch. Fenimore EMS treated both parties at the scene, and Kevin Megan was transported to the Grant County Health Center in Lancaster for treatment of his injuries. John Haas was taken by private vehicle to a care provider. Heavy fog is believed to be a contributing factor in the crash. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have fallen 6.7 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.61 a gallon, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 28.6 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and stand 32.4 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.36 a gallon, while the most expensive was $3.17 a gallon, a difference of 81 cents per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has fallen 4.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.98 a gallon. The national average is down 19.3 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 15.2 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy's data compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has decreased 3.7 cents compared to a week ago and stands at $3.59 per gallon. Gas prices have finally fallen below $3 per gallon nationally, the earliest date we've seen a $2.99 national average since 2020, when COVID was the primary driver of low prices, said Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis of Gas Buddy. OPEC deserves much of the credit for this trend, having steadily raised oil production for much of 2025. Currently, 35 states have averaged gas prices below $2.99 a gallon, and Gas Buddy even recorded the first $1.99 cash price at a station in Evans, Colorado, with stations in Oklahoma and Texas not far behind. Barring any major disruptions, gas prices are likely to remain slightly below year-ago levels and could stay under $3 for much of the next few months. Richland County grant funding available to support prevention, treatment, and recovery related to the opioid epidemic. Nonprofit organizations, businesses, school, and local government agencies located in and serving Richland County and its residents are welcome to apply. Funding can be requested by completing an application and submitting it to the attention of the Director of Richland County Health and Human Services by 4:30 Thursday, October 23rd. Applications will be reviewed at the Health and Community Services Committee meeting on November 6th at 9:30. Please note all applicants are required to be present. Final review and approval by the Richland County Board of Supervisors will occur in December 2025. For full details, you can go to co.richland.wi.us. With many recent data breach announcements from all types of industries, it's become clear how common data breaches are these days. The Better Business Bureau has tips for consumers to protect personal information and reduce identity theft risks. This is important whether you're a customer or the affected company of the affected companies or not. Companies collect more customer data than ever before. They save payment methods, passwords, addresses, and other information. This allows people to save time, ensure bills are paid on time, and budget effectively. However, it also increases the risk of identity theft. Consumers must take extra care to protect their personally identifiable information. Thieves want to access that information, and they may target companies with malware or exploit weaknesses in digital security measures. Once they steal the information, these bad actors sell it on the dark web or use it in their own fraud schemes. No two data breaches are the same, and each incident can expose unique information. Consumers affected by a breach may be at risk, increased risk for identity theft. Thieves may use stolen information to fraudulently apply for credit, unemployment benefits, and more. In some cases, consumers' financial accounts may be accessible to thieves. BBB recommends consumers take these steps to protect their data against a breach. Don't overshare online. Avoid posting personal information on social media. It's not just about your social security number. Online quizzes and games may also put you at risk. Things like your first pet's name or the town in which you were born can be used to hack your accounts. Check your credit report and financial statements often. Monitor your accounts for suspicious activity and notify account providers as quickly as possible. Use strong passwords and change them regularly. Protect your accounts with complex and unique passwords. Implement two-factor authentication on accounts and devices. This adds another layer of security to your logins. Two-factor authentication sends a code to your phone or email to check the account owner is the one logging in. Shop with businesses that protect consumer information. Check for basic security measures. There should be an HTTPS in the address bar and a clear and detailed privacy policy. Then look for and check for the validity of trust seals, like the accredited business seal. Safely dispose of personally identifiable information. Protecting yourself online is critical, but hard copies of private documents can also be stolen. So it's important to dispose of your private papers safely. For more information or further inquiries, you can contact the Wisconsin Better Business Bureau at bbb.org/Wisconsin. You can also call 1-800-273-1002. The American Red Cross is asking you to make an appointment now to give blood or platelets to support patients continuing on a consistent blood supply to survive and heal. Donation appointments can often drop quickly when people settle into busy fall routines and make plans around upcoming school breaks. Because blood has a short shelf life and can only come from a volunteer blood donor, any disruptions in the ability to collect life-saving blood can have serious consequences for those seeking medical care. You can help by donating at an area blood drive. 5 blood drives will be held this week. A blood drive will be held Wednesday from 9:30 to 1:30 at American Legion in Waniwok. A blood drive will be held Thursday from 11:30 to 5:30 at the First Baptist Church in New Lisbon. 3 blood drives will be held on Friday, the first from 10 to 3 at Grace Lutheran Church in Dodgeville, the second from noon to 5 at St. Anthony and Philip Parish in Highland, and the third from 12:30 to 5:30 at the Arena Fire and EMS Station. You can make an appointment to give by visiting redcrossblood.org. You can also call 1-800-RED-CROSS or use the Red Cross Blood Donor app. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources proposes to issue an authorization for the incidental taking of a rare fish, which may result from the Interstate Highway 39, 90, 94 Phase 3 and 4 project in Columbia County. The presence of the state-endangered starhead top minnow is confirmed in the vicinity of the project site. DNR staff determined that the proposed project may result in the incidental taking of some fish. The DNR concludes that the proposed project will minimize the impacts to the species by adhering to conservation measures. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation proposes to replace and expand the interstate bridge where it crosses the Wisconsin River with 2 new bridges, which will shift the footprint of the bridge slightly to the east. This will require constructing a new westbound bridge to the east of the existing bridge, removing the existing bridge, and constructing a new eastbound bridge in place of the existing bridge. The project entails removing the 11 sets of concrete piers and reinstalling 24 new concrete piers. For design, planning, and construction purposes, this project has been separated into 4 phases, and this authorization would focus on phase 3 and 4. Conservation measures for this project are detailed in the jeopardy assessment and include netting of the project area and relocating fish to suitable habitat outside the project area. Copies of the jeopardy assessment and background information on the starhead top minnow are available by visiting the DNR Incidental Take Public Notices webpage. The public is encouraged to submit written comments regarding project-related impacts to the starhead top minnow by October 23rd to Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, care of Stacy Rowe, DNR conservation biologist, 2514 Morse Street, Janesville, 53545, by email to stacy.rowe@wisconsin.gov. You can also call 608-228-9796. Wisconsinites are getting a head start on holiday travel plans this year, according to new data, survey data from the AAA. With the season fast approaching, AAA is offering insights into emerging travel trends and practical tips to help travelers make the most of their holiday journeys. Top holiday travel trends include major cities, beach getaways, resort vacations, and cruising. Half of Wisconsinites plan to take at least one overnight trip during the 2025 holiday season. 70% will travel for Christmas, 53% will travel for Thanksgiving, and 46% will travel for New Year's Eve. Nearly a quarter of Wisconsinites plan to take more holiday vacations this year. Half will take the same as last year. 60% of Thanksgiving travelers in Wisconsin finalize their travel plans by the end of September. By the end of this month, October, most trips will be finalized. Only 10% plan to wait until November. Peak travel days are Tuesday, Wednesday, and Sundays. For smaller crowds and more flight options, consider flying the Sunday or Monday before Thanksgiving and returning Saturday. Half of Christmas travelers will finalize their travel plans this month or next. Just 8% will wait until December. Most travelers aim to arrive by Christmas Eve. With Christmas Day falling on a Thursday, expect airport congestion the weekend before and early that week. AAA's top tips for holiday travel are: book early to secure nonstop flights and avoid layovers. Choose morning departures to reduce the risk of delays and cancellations. Travel a day or two early to build in buffer time in case of delays. Allow extra time between connecting flights to avoid missed connections. Compare options across airlines, airports, and dates for better deals. And use travel rewards to offset peak season costs for flights and hotels.